Call all hands. Beat to quarters. Run out the guns. Stand by the starboard battery.
Run broadside into it, if you please, Captain Bush.
Pointers on target. Linstocks ready.
Aye, aye, sir. Ready.
Fire!
Michael Redgrave as C.S. Forrester's Indomitable Man of the Sea, Horatio Hornblower.
A single episode of that career stands out more vividly than that dusky autumn evening when I stood on the deck beside Captain Freeman and sailed into the enemy's stronghold. The patched foretopsail had been bent on, the name Porter Chaley painted out, and the name Flame substituted. I forced myself to remain calm and apparently unmoved, but Freeman, beside me, had given up all pretense and was as excited as a schoolboy.
There's the harbor, sir. And there's that French West Indiaman we saw go in this morning. Well, there's a lighter beside her. Of course, they wouldn't unload her at the quay. They'd put her cargo into lighters and send them upriver to Rouen and Paris.
At the moment, I'm more interested in the town's defenses than the shipping. There are the ports of Adres and Tourneville on its deep drift. The twin lighthouses on Cap de la Hève. The batteries there on that low ground beside the jetty. Batteries are going to be our greatest danger. I don't expect the forts to find out what's going on in time to open fire.
I don't see why anyone should find out, sir. The ship's disguised, and we've got plain pea jackets over our uniforms.
Mm.
Oh, look, sir, look. There's a lot of shipping further in. Might even be ships of the line. They haven't got their yards crossed. Well, I've never been in as close as this before.
It'll be dark soon. I hope the weather doesn't clear any more. It's just light enough to find our way in, and it'll be dark enough to cover us as we come out.
Let's sail on the lee, sir. Oh, that's the pilot lugger coming out to us.
Right.
They think we're the Flame, sure enough.
Very good. Well, set the men to cheering at the port side. Secure the pilot when he comes on board. I'll con the ship in.
Aye, aye, sir. Now then, you men. You're a gang of mutineers sailing your ship to the enemy as a prize. Now, come on, let's hear from you. Shout! Sing, dance! Back the lane, Popsoul! Here's the lugger, sir. And here's the pilot coming aboard.
Lee braces. Over with the wheel and on into the harbor.
Mr. Freeman, have you taken care of the pilot?
I have that, sir. I put my shoulder into his back and shot him down the hatchway.
We were nearing the big Indiaman now. She lay with loose sails, swinging to a single anchor. In the fading light, I could just make out a dozen of her crew at her side, staring curiously at us.
You may hoist out the boats.
Aye, aye, sir. Shall I send the men into them?
Well, only the picked men as arranged. Remember, they are to take the Indiaman without firing a shot. Once we alarm the shore, we're lost.
Oh, they understand, sir. They've been well drilled.
Good.
Boats away! boat's coming back, sir. Well, the men they've put aboard must have done their job.
That's all.
Look, look, here comes the Indiaman, too!
Steady as you go. Mr. Freeman, my hand at the lead, if you please. I'm afraid we shall gain no more time. The shore authorities will be fully alert in a moment.
Yes, the cutter's signaling the shore for the lantern.
Yes, and firing a musket to attract their attention.
Stand by to go about.
This is going to be the most ticklish moment of our awkward passage. Steady as she goes.
Steady it is, sir.
Now, the cutter must have cleared and loaded a bow chaser. 6-pounder from the sound of it. Yes, there's the flame of it. She can't see us very clearly.
I can see the Indiaman, though. She's coming round very neatly. That master mate of yours is a good man. Ah, this will be a different matter. The 32-pounders on the jetty are in action now. We shall be right in their range as we round the jetty.
Shall I reply to their fire, sir?
No. Our 6-pounders will make no impression on that solid battery, and the flashes will reveal our position.
Well, why aren't they firing again? Well, they've had time for several salvos.
I imagine Bonaparte has stripped his shore defenses of seasoned gunners for his army in Germany. These gunners are probably untrained recruits, and working in the dark is making them unhandier than ever.
Look out, sir! There's no jet ahead!
Wheel there. Stay steady. Make no effort to avoid it. It's the pilot, Lucker. They can see its mainsail. They're trying to block our escape.
She's coming straight for us, sir!
Then let the weakest go to the wall. Stand fast, everybody.
Look at her! Her bows are smashed like an eggshell! The water's pouring into her! That was closer. They fired at the noise.
We're getting into deeper water. Lay her on the other tack, if you please, Mr. Freeman. I tried hard to keep any trace of doubt or excitement from my voice. But I knew that success or failure depended on the chances of the next few minutes. I felt weak with apprehension, not merely for the physical danger that we were in, but for the danger to my reputation should I fail. Men would not stop to think of my real motive. They would say I'd tried to take advantage of the mutiny to feather my own nest by capturing a prize. My honor, as well as my life and liberty, were at stake.
Steady as he goes. We're out of range of the batteries now.
What a shock for him, sir. A loaded Indiaman taken out of harbor right under their very nosing.
Very good piece of work, Mr. Freeman. All hands did their duty admirably.
Silence! I'll flog any man who's disrespectful to the Commodore.
Well, leave them alone, Mr. Freeman. They mean well and they're excited. It sounds as though our prize crew on the Indiaman share their feelings.
And they've reason to. All hands will get a nice share of prize money, and there ought to be at least £1,000 in it for you, sir.
Yes, I shall go below, Mr. Freeman. Well, that will do, ma'am. Mr. Freeman, please be good enough to issue grog to all hands. Slight patches of mist and the wind backing south by west. As I came on deck for my bath under the pump, I noted that we were hove to with the captured Indiaman astern. I knew that I should send her back to England at once, but I could not do that without writing a report. And there was the mutinous flame to deal with before I could think about reports.
Sail ho! It's the bridge plane, sir!
What?
Yes, there she is, sir. Just coming out of that mist bank.
Well, there's only one thing to do. We'll have to fetch her out. Clear the ship for action.
Aye, aye, sir.
The news must have got around on shore now that the brig with the patched sail is playing a double game, and they'll be watching for another move. If we delay, the mutineers might get in touch with the shore again and explain.
Yes, or if they see from the shore there's two brigs with patched sails, they may guess what's been done.
Yes, quite so. Well, see that the men have some breakfast first, and it will be best if the guns will not run out yet.
Aye, very good, sir.
Thank you.
out the guns would warn the flame that we expected a fight. That might tell them that escape to the French was not so easy as they thought.
I gulped a little as I realized that within an hour the deck I trod would be swept with the carronades of the flame. Within that hour, I might be dead or shrieking under the surgeon's knife.
Deck there! There's a lot of small craft putting out from the beach, sir. Heading for the flame, I think, sir.
This should be interesting, Mr. Freeman. The mutineers are heading in rather than fight. They think those craft are coming out to welcome them.
They're in for a shock, Lindsay.
Right. Hey,
hello. No, they're not so sure. They're hesitating. Look, you can see them spilling the wind from their mainsail. Probably an argument going on aboard between those who only want to keep out of our range and those who want to go over to the French.
That argument will be soon resolved. Those craft are gunboats, and that lugger's full of men.
Ah, yes, the flame. A warning shot to make the frogs keep their distance. Look, sir, look. Look, the flames realize the craft are hostile. She's wearing round.
And too late. They're closing in on her and opening fire.
Look, sir, look. Look, the men from the lugger are boarding the flame. Look, they'll take her.
We'll run the guns out quickly. At least we shall fight against Frenchmen and not Englishmen. Gunners, listen to me. We're going in among those gunboats and they must be sunk. Aim true at the base of their masts and don't fire until you're sure you can hit. We were among the gunboats then. Our carronades went off on both sides. On our starboard side, I had one gunboat under my eye, half a dozen men by her tiller, two men at each sweep amidships, a dozen at the big gun forward. Our shots came smashing in, and fired at extreme depression, they smashed straight through the frail shell of the boat. The sides caved in, the sea surged over her, the big gun slewed and completed the wreck. And only a few bobbing heads in the water showed where she had been. The same on the port side. Whoever was responsible for exposing those small boats to our fire was a fool. But now the lugger and the flame were close ahead. Mr. Freeman, load with canister, if you please. We'll run alongside the French lugger. One broadside, and then we'll board her in the smoke.
Aye, sir.
Governors! Canister!
I shall want every available man in the boarding party. You, Mr. Freeman, will stay here.
Oh, but sir...
You'll stay here. Pick six good seamen to stay with you and work the brig out if we don't come back. Is that clear, Mr. Freeman?
Yes, sir, Rachel.
Helmsman, lay us alongside that lugger. Gunners, you see that every shot tells.
Boarders, you ready to come with me?
Brandishing a cutlass had leaped past me on the lugger. It was Brown. I saw him striking left and right, and then I was beside him in the struggling, slashing mass. I stumbled over a pile of dead and wounded men who had been caught in the blast of shot from our brig, and that stumble saved my life, for a blade snicked past my head as I pitched. An upward thrust as I recovered disposed of my attacker, and I fired the pistol in my left hand at a blue uniformed figure which loomed through the smoke at me. But now, the wind blew the smoke clear, fighting around me every way, and I could see again. Our master's mate was running down the tricolor from the masthead. On the starboard side was the flame. I could see French infantry shakers over her bulwarks. A second wave of boarders came pouring in from the Porta Cheli.
Come on, men! Aboard the flame before they can organize a defense.
It's all over now, sir. They've had enough.
You won't be sure.
No, Brown. Help me up. This fellow's heavy. He's right on top of me. Thank you.
Well, Brian, what's the situation?
Some of them are hiding below, sir. We'll have them out presently. That lot are disarmed and guarded, and some went overside, sir. The ship's ours, sir.
Where are the other mutineers?
Down below, I fancy, sir. Now, some of the Frenchies are down there, too, sir.
Cowards. I'd rather die on deck than scuttle into a hole like a rat. We'll have them out of it.
Lamb ahoy! We're all drifting ashore! Request permission to cast off and make sail!
Now, wait a moment. We must... Two of them anchored a couple of cables' lengths away in shoal water. The Flame, the Lugger, and the Porter Chele, all locked together, made a huge target. Another shot crashed into us, and then another. The 24-pound balls were smashing through the whole frail length of the brig, tearing their way through the cowering mutineers and French below decks. Haste was essential, as we were not to be sunk where we lay.
Secure your hatches. Get ready to make sail.
All right, sir.
What topmen are there? Man the halyards. Put a man on the wheel.
Very well, Mr. Freeman. Cast off and make sail.
Rendezvous at the Indiaman.
Aye, aye, sir.
Now, lively now. Hoist away at that sail.
Wheel there. Hard to starboard.
Anchor support the Chaley, sir. And the prize crew's working the lugger away. We'll all be out of range of the gunboats in a minute.
Oh, thank heaven the wind is offshore.
Hello.
What's all that going on overside?
Tommy, sir. It's the prisoners. Mutineers and froggies. They're scrambling out through the shadows and jumping over side.
Now let them go. Half will be drowned, and the mutineers who were saved will get no mercy from the French after this. Wait a minute. Where's the ringleader? Where's Nathaniel Sweet? He must not escape. He must be brought to trial or killed.
He was below, sir. Look, ain't that him? Over there.
Where?
Swimming. Yeah, there. You can see his long white hair.
Nathaniel Sweet! I call upon you to surrender and stand your trial!
I just laughing, swine.
Hey, you.
Sir?
You, on sentry at the hatch. Pick me off that white-haired swimmer with your musket.
Aye, aye, sir. Ah, look at the splash. Not within 10 yards.
Now, give me the musket. Reload, quick, or the villain will escape. I'll have him if I have to jump over and swim to him.
Here's another musket, sir.
Thank you.
Let me. I wish I was a good shot myself.
I'll give it to me.
Got him, sir. Got him. He won't need no more mutineers.
Where is he?
Walter. No. No, there he is. Look. Just see his hair trailing. There. Now he's gone.
Yeah. It's a horrible thing to have to do. There was no alternative. You will bear witness, Dan, that I called on him to surrender.
Bless you, sir. It's a waste of breath. He's better off, too. He'd only hang if he was cooked.
It was true. That white hair trailing like a horrible weed on the sea was to haunt my dreams for long to come. The mutiny was suppressed, the Flame retaken, the French defeated, and valuable prizes secured. Barbara and Richard and Smallbridge seemed close again. Yet there was no joy in my heart as we sailed to rendezvous. Only a nightmare vision of long white hair trailing on red-tinted water.
Horatio Hornblower, starring Michael Redgrave, is based on the novels by C.S. Forrester. Music composed and conducted by Sidney Torch. Produced by Harry Allen Towers.